Welcome, viewers, to the Pixar Spective. Let's talk about Ratatouille.
Let's talk about Ratatoying.
Ratatouille.
How to ratatwang your panda.
Clever.
Yes.
Gumball reference. Anyway, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Let's introduce ourselves, like always.
Like always? Oh, yeah. We're supposed to do that. I am the Wash.
What?
I'm random bystander here.
I don't know what you guys are laughing about.
Oh, were we supposed to introduce ourselves?
Yes!
Ratatouille.
So, Ratatouille. I guess we can get started right away and talk about our history with this. So... how about the Kobe fan tell us your personal deep history with Ratatouille?
Are you saying this because you know how quick it's going to be?
Go ahead.
I saw this movie for the first time a couple years ago.
That's right. You saw it because of me, right?
Yes, you and Random.
Yeah, yep. That's right.
I remember that.
That's it.
And have you seen the movie since?
No.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay. So this is going to be an interesting...
Very interesting perspective. A very interesting Pixar perspective.
A very interesting ratatwang your panda perspective.
Yeah.
We can't really do car perspective. It doesn't work like that.
No. Car perspective was a once in a lifetime miracle. We're never going to recreate it.
Yeah. Pick's rat perspective doesn't work the same way.
No. Pick's car perspective was actually perfect.
Yeah, that was. But we have two more movies to do that, so it's okay.
All right. Well, ever the optimist, Random, you talk about your history next.
Usually, with every Pixar film, I have an idea of how I first saw it, or what I want, or what I remember when first seeing it. Ratatouille, I have no idea. I don't remember how I saw this film.
Oh.
I don't have a clue. I was thinking about it in the all 10 minutes of starting this Pixar perspective. And
well, give us credit. It's been three.
True. And I was just like, how did I watch this movie? I don't remember. Did I see it in school? Did I see it on cable? Did I see it on the... I didn't buy the DVD. Did I see it... How did I see Ratatouille? Because I know it wasn't in theaters. That's an option I could have used.
I do remember, like, you had... I remember, like, before we watched it together, I swear I remember you saying that you had seen it and you just don't remember anything about it?
That probably... Yes! I probably blocked it out of my mind for some reason. I don't know if I liked Ratatouille or not before, but I remember when I saw it again with you two, I just was thinking, it's a fun film. It's fun. It's good. Has some problems, but it's good. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's Ratatouille.
It sure is Ratatouille.
I don't have any story like seeing it for the first time, and that's just weird. Because I think there's some movies where I remember the first seeing it very well. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. Good Dinosaur, and I just. we hit the quota. Okay.
And, yes, we all have our quotas to fill out.
Yes.
But I don't remember how I saw Ratatouille in the slightest. I just can't. I can't tell you. I cannot tell you. I just remember being like, oh, I saw it. So I'm guessing maybe I would have. I could have seen it like sick on a fever dream and just been like, Ratatouille was playing.
No, that's the way to watch a Pixar film.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, quite frankly, the only way.
Yes.
I don't remember any other time watching Ratatouille other than with you two. So, but I know I watched it, but I just don't remember the experience. So, yeah, I don't know why I'm having a crisis over this, but apparently, yeah.
Well, I suppose I can fill in the blank for you because I do remember the first time I saw this. I saw this in theaters, although I watched it with my aunt and cousins, I want to say like a month after the movie came out. because there was only we could only find like one theater that was still showing this film. So
Yeah.
So it's even at the time it was regarded as it's okay, and then people just kind of moved on. It still doesn't really have much of a buzz about it. And then I remember, I think, renting this from the library and decided to give it a watch. And what I came out of it was, this was a lot better than people give it credit for. So I just ended up being kind of the evangelist, if you will, of Ratatouille. And I just remember telling you both, like, no, it's really a good film. There really is a lot to it. And
it's a good film, we swear.
And so I remember, like, one day just like getting us together to watch Ratatouille, and we came away like with a very positive experience, like enjoying it quite a lot. And I don't remember having watched it that many more times until I watched it this week. So it was quite an illuminating watch this time around. But of course, as our catchphrase is, we'll get to that when we get to that.
Yeah. I love how, like, out of all the films, Ratatouille seems like one of the least talked about of the Pixar films, even though, like you said, it does deserve some credit. Because there's a lot of things.
No, that's true. I really don't hear that many people talking about it. I hear people talking about a lot of the other ones. Just not. That's a good point.
People almost talk about Ratatouille as much as they talk about A Bug's Life. Almost. Like, they talk about Ratatouille a little bit more.
Yeah, not that much more. And A Bug's Life isn't really a movie you hear too much discussion on anymore.
Like, A Bug's Life was only given much credit because it was picked in my sophomore film, so it got a little attention as, with Toy Story a fluke, are they going to do it? And then they did it, and then people moved on to Toy Story 2 and moved on to the rest of this. And Ratatouille especially is kind of in an odd spot in the repertoire because before this was Cars, and after this was WALL-E.
Oh,
WALL-E was next. You are correct.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, that was...
WALL-E. Now, that's something people are going to remember.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
But, of course, we'll get to that when we get to that. So, I guess we can... we'll just take this right from the start. Who's in for a plot synopsis?
I don't think it's going to be me.
All right. I'll do it.
Okie doke.
Why'd you go yes?
Because I'm not doing it.
Okay, great. I mean, I could have been fought and be like, no, you are doing this, but I'm going to do it.
And I'm too nervous. You go ahead.
Okay, so it stars Remy, a rat played by Patton Oswalt, who is unlike other rats and wants to have a career in culinary arts. And he learns more about the human world and cooking and smells and tastes, and he idolizes a chef called Gusteau. And he finds out, like, Gusteau's dead and, like, his restaurant has lost 2 stars. And he not only that, but gets separated from his family in the same day. So he runs into Gusteau's restaurant and he winds up encountering a bunch of chefs in the restaurant, including Linguini, who is a garbage boy. And at first, like, he sees Linguini, like, mess things up. And Remy's like, I have to fix this. And he fixes it. And he winds up making something delicious. And then Remy gets caught, and it's up to Linguini to actually, like, kill him and get rid of him. But they wind up, like, understanding each other, which I like a lot, that the animal doesn't talk in this film to humans. Yeah. That's such a strong point and so unlike Disney. I love it. Well, it's unlike Disney at the time. Anyway, sure. And they wind up working together to, like, become a good chef, and there's a whole bunch of other crazy characters like Skinner. Mm-hmm. We'll get to I don't know her name, but the female chef.
Her name is Colette.
I shouldn't know that. There's a Les Mis joke with that. Either way, they learn, like, work with each other, and they learn what it's through like working together that truly anyone can cook. And we'll get to that again, because I really want to talk about the message a lot of this film, because that's the most memorable part of it for me.
Oh, yes. That's been a big take. Well, there's one of two big takeaways that we got when we last saw the film together, is the message and one of the characters who became, like, a star for us.
Yes. So, where should we start next?
I suppose we can start off
characters,
with
I suppose?
Yeah. Remy by Patton Oswalt.
Remy by Patton Oswalt.
I love Patton Oswalt a lot. Like, this, if anything, this movie got me into his stand-up comedy.
Oh, yeah. This guy? Yeah, that's right.
And I was curious, and then I found out so many of his awesome stand-up. And oh, yeah, he does, I personally think he does a really good job in this. There's some times where I remember when I first saw this, I saw Remy's actions as kind of selfish at first, but he was, but in the, was watching the film, I don't know why I saw him as more identifiable in a way. There are some times where his stuck-upness did show, but that was him. He's a perfectionist. he is like a rad version of perfection. He wants everything to be amazing because he knows it can be amazing.
Yes, that's fair.
I remember it bothered me more when I last saw the film, but it didn't bother me as much when I saw this film this time.
Okay.
Because I'm becoming a little, I become more of a perfectionist.
I relate to this joke.
Oh, there are times where I actually did think he was a jerk, though.
I was kind of surprised that upon this latest rewatch, I started to see like some problems with the film, and I was surprised with how many of those problems were because of Remy. I found he was too stuck up. Like, it was, there were points in this where it really just became, yeah, he's right in the end, but also does he have to be so smug about it?
I'm going to drop this take.
Go ahead.
I think Remy is about as bad as Lightning.
Ooh.
See, here's the thing. I'm in agreement.
Really?
I'm in agreement
with
you.
Okay, so here's the thing. Lightning's worst moment was at the beginning of the movie with the Rustees. That was his worst moment. And I'm not going to defend that or anything, but I think Remy had an equally bad moment.
What was that?
The first time that Remy stole food from the restaurant and the Gusteau imagination in his head said, "You can't steal food, that's not right." And Remy says, "Oh, don't worry, it's all figured out. If he gets fired, I get fired too, so it's okay." And he steals the food.
Okay.
And then he keeps stealing the food, and when his imaginative Gusteau is saying to not steal the food, he doesn't even come up with excuses anymore. He's just like, "Ah, don't worry, it'll be fine."
Yeah.
To be fair, he was pressured by a very large rat.
He was pressured by his own family, but also he could just... That's the thing, he wanted to say to his brother, hold on, Emil. Emil, played by Peter Stone, who is the director of Partly Cloudy, and he's the future director of The Good Dinosaur.
God damn it, we already went through the quota.
Oh, I'm filling my quota, damn it.
Random, did you like or dislike Emil?
I actually really liked him a lot.
Oh, no. Okay. Emil was very cute.
Okay. Anyways,
I think maybe the reason I didn't mind Remy as much is because the people around him, like, compensated for him a little bit. Like, when it was just him, I was like, okay, he's kind of being annoying. I wouldn't call him as bad as Lightning McQueen, except for maybe that moment in particular. But
I thought there were more moments than that. There were
a lot more. They were littered all throughout the movie. Like
that,
when
that was
oh,
my
what,
problem.
What really angered me, like it wasn't too big of a deal in the long run because, you know, he redeemed himself right after or whatever, but when Linguini is devastated about how he has to go back to the restaurant and make that recipe that he doesn't know how to make, and he has this this connection moment with Remy, and he says, "I'm gonna let you out, okay?" And he opens the jar, and Remy just makes a run for it. He turns around, and he starts to laugh at him.
Okay, see, at that moment, I'm going to give a tiny bit of credit, because at that particular moment, he's first looking out for his safety. Like, he first just wants to get the hell out. And then it's like when he's kind of like turns around and realizes that, like, no, this guy is serious.
Okay, so then why did he laugh at him?
That was bad.
Thank you.
I forgot about that.
I rest my case. That is not the only example. I think I probably have more examples.
I have some more. I can't believe we're going to be the Remy haters of this. But
okay. All right. Bring it on.
Okay. Okay. So I mean,
he's not an angel, but geez.
So since we brought up Colette, Remy has this weird hate for Colette that doesn't really get resolved. It's just that they just kind of get over it. There was a point where like way later in the film, Linguini gets control of the restaurant. He becomes famous. To back up a little bit, during like a big portion of the film, Remy really didn't want to be exposed, obviously, because he's a rat and he knows that a rat in the kitchen is horrible news. Like they even get to a point where like Linguini was about to confess to Colette, but Remy forces Linguini to kiss Colette in order to stop. That was an odd scene. But I want to say like 5-10 minutes later in the movie time, but like maybe about a week in real time, suddenly like during this scene where there's all this paparazzi and all these people, reporters interviewing him, and suddenly like Remy wants attention? He wants to get credit?
Yeah, I noticed that too. He gets really mad when Linguini doesn't credit him.
It's not like Linguini being selfish here. This is like terrible miscommunication on Remy's part.
And only Remy's part.
Only Remy's part. And then like a little later on, he says to give my credit to Colette. And Remy gets like furious and like jumps up in the chef's hat. Linguini says to Remy, Colette knows how to cook too, you know. And he's right. Why is he so like stuck up about, like, yeah, Colette has an issue with like adhering too much to the recipe, but also she has years of experience and has taught Remy everything he knows. And yet he's being like stuck up about it when he decides to put the sauce on top of the whatever dish that was considered Gusteau's failure, and he gets like smug about it. It's come to a point where I'm now on Kirby's spot, where I now have to defend a movie with a bad protagonist.
I mean, first of all, welcome to the party. Second, it's so frustrating because they could have made Lightning work, but it was going to be really difficult. Remy, I don't really feel like should have been all that hard. They fix a couple of things. They make it so that he doesn't steal until after he has his breakup moment with Linguini. He gets mad over the right reasons. He's not acting like, he could act like a stuck-up chef, but not a complete jerk. Some simple fixes, and he would have been fine.
Yeah.
I don't know about a great main character in the Pixar legacy, but he would have been fine.
He would have been fine. Yeah.
Maybe that's why this film isn't as memorable as we thought.
And I don't give this any against like Patton Oswalt, because I'm also...
Oh, yes. If there is one thing I will say about Remy, is that I think Patton Oswalt did a great
job.
That
may be why I like
him. No.
Honest to God.
There's a lot of performances where the characters, like on paper, kind of suck, but they're elevated by the performance. And there are other movies, yes, like even within Pixar, that have this sort of dilemma where you really have to pick the exact right person for it. I haven't been watching Patton Oswalt much in a while, but I was a big fan of him, and I don't give him any points off for performance, because he did fine. I have one thing. This is not performance, this is writing. Why is there narration in this? I had completely forgotten about that.
Oh my god, the opening act of the movie where instead of... You know, actually.
You're probably wondering where I got into this situation.
That's literally what just happened. Oh my
god. It really annoyed me that for the first 7 minutes of the movie, I want to say, it was Remy telling us about things that he did and he was good at and all that, instead of us actually seeing it and just naturally being shown. It was just Remy saying, I have a keen sense of smell, and because of that, I smell for the rat poison in all of the food.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, when it kept coming back, I was like, why? I wrote down one line, because it was after Linguini and Colette, like, hook up, and they're riding on a motorcycle. Remy gets thrown off the bike, and then he gets nearly attacked by people on the street. And as he's walking back, he had the line, I was reminded how fragile it all was.
Oh my god.
How the world really saw me.
That one line is worse than anything they said in Cars.
And it just kept getting better.
Except maybe after season. That had to be the worst quote of the entire movie. That had to
probably
be the worst.
Probably. Yeah. Okay.
There's one that I noticed harder than that. One that made me like sigh harder than that, but that had to be the worst. We'll get to that when we talk about the ending way down, but that has to be the worst like part of the whole movie. Well, okay, maybe not. Maybe not actually.
Random, I just want to say, like, as much as we hit we're punching down Remy. That doesn't mean you have to. If you enjoy him, that's okay. Yeah.
I like it. Absolutely. I don't. I mean, yes, he has a lot of faults, but at the same time, I didn't hate him that much. Again, that's maybe fine. Because I like Patton Oswalt. Maybe because...
I do have this question for you, and it's just a question. I'm not trying to put you down, but why do you like Remy but dislike Lightning?
I don't know. I think it's because of the performance.
That's totally fair. Owen Wilson is a hard sell.
I think if Lightning Queen was voiced by Patton Oswalt, first off, what the fuck? Second off,
imagine Remy saying, ka-chow!
I think it's a lot of it is the performance for me, because I just like Patton Oswalt, and I think he's hilarious. And I don't know. It's just... There are times where, yes, he did go too far. There were times where I think during the narrations I did get bored, and I actually forgot about their narrations in the movie in general until you just reminded me. Actually, no, I didn't remember one narration, but it was not narration from Remy. It was narration from Hugo. That narration at the end is the only thing I remember.
That one's actually good, but we'll get to that when we get to that.
We'll get to that when we get to that.
So, you know what actually was funny?
What?
Linguini.
Yeah, he was my favorite part of the film.
I gotta say, when I first saw the movie, I think you two might remember me saying I didn't like him. I like him.
I
liked him a lot more on second watch. His charm really got through to me on the second watching.
And you know what? What probably made Linguini a lot better for you? During the scenes with Linguini and Remy, Remy did not talk.
That was the one thing that I actually liked about Remy.
I know, but like, what he said sometimes got to you. I didn't mind either way. But like, I'm just saying, if a lot of times the things he said were not the greatest.
Yeah, but also like his body movements and his expressions and his movement in general was.
This was very clearly like Brad Bird wanted to make a Looney Tunes film.
It's like you're playing with a puppet. You're controlling a puppet from the strings. That's Linguini's movement. It's like animated so well.
His introductory scene, all he's trying to do is pull an envelope out of his back pocket. And he couldn't even manage that.
He's so anxious and nervous.
He can't even do that. This ties in perfectly with what becomes like the main mechanic of the film, which is that Linguini is so like not in control of his own body that a rat could take over.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Yes.
It worked really, really well.
Yeah, just Linguini's nervous, maybe not optimism. But, like, just nervousness in general, it just really makes the film. And the voice actor, who I think is a Pixar animator. I know he was in Incredibles.
I mentioned his name last time, and, of course, I forgot to write it down in my notes. Lou Romano. I do have it down. Perfect. He's been working in Pixar for a while, and he's done a few other voices, and this is him, like... Like perfected, like he did a bang up job with this. There's one scene where Remy is—it's like one of the first times going through the kitchen, and they're trying to figure out the soup. And so Remy wants to check through all these different things throughout the kitchen to get the best spice for it. And the actor Lou Romano, what they did is that they played the animated footage. And then he did that. Oh, okay. Let me check over here. He just reacted to the footage as if that was what was actually happening to him.
That's really good.
That's really good. Yeah. I guess I need this.
I guess I need this now.
He's just as confused as all the. He's just as confused as all the other chefs.
Thank you.
He just stops his thank you and then continues on.
So sort of that bizarre, strange humor that Pixar is really good at. When Remy and Linguini are in the kitchen and Remy's crawling around Linguini's clothes and everything, you know, biting him, which was kind of weird, but whatever. Linguini just storms into the kitchen, slams Linguini on the tray, like unbuttons his shirt a little bit. You see all the bite marks. And then he just starts screaming.
It's not like, gonna work, little chef.
I love that he called him little chef. Yeah, the whole way through, because he never learned his name. He never gave him a name. It's just to him, he was a little chef. I love that.
Yeah, it was cute. Yeah, and yeah. I like the buddy-buddy relationship that happens with the most Pixar films. Again, happens with like differently. It's like a person with a pet, that a very advanced pet. Only sometimes Linguini feels like the pet.
Yeah.
I'm not your puppet controlling guy.
Literally, he's the puppet controlling guy. But yeah, I like Linguini a lot. He's just very fun. He's just, you relate to him.
He had the title drop. He's like, hey, why did they call it that? What? Ratatouille. And I know that it eventually like pays off later in the film, but it just kind of like throws me off where it's like, I'm imagining like Buzz is like, you are a Toy Story 2.
You bring up a good point, but that's also a nice segue into the fact that that scene was when Linguini got drunk, and that was the funniest part of the movie.
Yes. Oh my god.
and it becomes like, it's you could like just have that clip as its own set. All it is Skinner, who we'll get to later, and Linguini. Skinner wants to get some information from Linguini, and he just keeps trying to drunken him up to get the information out. And he's so like lightheaded, but and yet becomes like smooth. He just segues through every single question.
Surely you don't expect me to believe this is your first time cooking.
It's not.
I knew it!
It's my second, third, fourth, fifth time. Monday was my first time.
And you just see the frustration in Skinner. Yes.
He's getting all the information out of Linguini except for the one that he wants. The one bit that he wants, he can't get. He's getting all these insignificant little details that he doesn't care about. Which for a character like Skinner is the most annoying thing that he could get.
Speaking of Skinner, can we please talk about Skinner?
Oh, he is one of the funnest villains of Pixar history.
He's absolutely one of the best.
I will say this. I have heard people say in the past that, oh, Skinner's so one note, he's not that interesting. And yeah, he is one note, but that one note is consistently funny throughout the entire film.
Yeah.
Consistently. It works really well. It's really good. I like at the end of the movie, towards the end of the movie, when the critic, Anton, goes to Gusteau's to get the food. He's so petty that he has a beret on and he's hiding behind a newspaper and he's just kind of stalking Anton. When he asks what he wants, he just goes, I'll have what he's having. he just wants to see Gusteau fail because he got fired.
The whole chase sequence where Remy gets the paperwork.
Oh my god.
When Remy runs away and Skinner just pushes the guy off the bike. Such an angry, little man.
The perfect conclusion is when, like, Remy, like, he makes a jump and he ends up, like, the wind lifts the paper up and he ends up gliding through. And meanwhile, Skinner makes his best leap and the best he can do is, like, to pull the paper cloth off the dinner, and they did it so expertly that the couple didn't even notice.
Yes. He's got such a good presence in the kitchen, though. You know, when he's there, you know, he's got everyone's attention.
Oh my god, you know? the absolute, probably the single best thing in this movie. Linguini puts out some food for Remy outside of the kitchen, and when he comes back, Skinner is on the top shelf behind him and tries to grab the hat off. Yeah. Ah! And then he like sees, he like looks inside and like, got your dog. That one is just like expertly Looney Tunes. Like he,
it was so Looney Tunes.
You can really tell that he was a big fan of like Warner Brothers and such.
He's just another character who's animated in such like a specifically perfect manner.
he's animated in a way that only. Well, not only, but, like, Brad Bird really put his heart out to make sure this character is done right.
Yes. I fully agree.
I'm trying to think of other Skinner moments. Just, he's so paranoid about, like, everything. And
even
like,
his lawyer couldn't buy it anymore.
Should I be concerned about this?
Yes! That lawyer was also one of the best.
Can I just say the facial expressions in this movie are incredible?
Yeah, they really are.
And it's partly helped by the character designs themselves. Like, this is
very distinct, yeah.
Yeah, like going off of The Incredibles, where they're really getting the humans looking like really good and appealing. They come out with really distinct facial features that pay off really well by the end of it. It's just all they all look like fun. All the different chefs in the kitchen, like
I cue the man with my thumb.
I like when Skinner runs into that guy after he got fired, and all he has to do is point his thumb at him, and he becomes afraid.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. All the chefs. My complaint with the other chefs that aren't Skinner, Linguini, and Colette, they kind of seem one note and underused.
They were
underutilized. I definitely agree with that.
I would say the only one that doesn't get as much underutilized is the thumb guy. He's the one who gets the most or the least underutilized.
And even then, it's not a lot, but it's just more than the others.
Yeah. There was one tiny little. I don't remember this line until I rewatched it. But Skinner finds out that the customers like linguine soup and they want more of his stuff. And one of the chefs says, "A lot of customers like the soup." That's all we were saying. And another chef goes, "Were we saying that?"
Yeah, I remember that.
I noticed the first part, but not the second part.
Yeah, that one. I actually got around to reading a book about Pixar called The Pixar's Touch by David A. Price. And if you're a fan of this podcast, I highly recommend you check out that book. And unfortunately, the book stops at Ratatouille. So it's kind of a bummer for me because I don't get to utilize this from us. But it does get into quite a lot of the background of Ratatouille. So we all like Gary games, yeah?
Yeah.
Yes.
This was the idea of the director, Jan Pinkava, who had the original concept of a rat wanted to be a chef. And he was trying to get this working with some other screenwriters for over a year. It wasn't working out. So with Pinkava's blessing, Pixar brought on Bob Peterson as co-director. And, you know, Bob Peterson, he done like a lot of the writing for all sorts of different films and all these fun side characters. Unfortunately, what has happened is that, like, he found out that they gave Bob, like, exclusive rights to the story. And Pinkava could only do, like, the other stuff, like character design and set design. And then 8 months later, they did a presentation and it failed. Peterson left the project. And Pinkava couldn't get control of the movie anymore, so they pushed it on to Brad Bird. And that line makes me think that was a Bob Peterson thing, because I was going to say this is a very writer's room line, and I'm wondering like whether or not that was like kept in from an earlier version that they just, and it's a line that they just kind of liked. Anyway, I went off on a big tangent about this, but...
It's okay. Tangents happen. Anyway, anything more we have to say about Skinner? I'm trying to think of all of them.
I have something.
Okay.
Skinner is incredible. However, I would not say that Skinner was the best part of the movie. I would say the best part of the movie is the old lady with a gun at the start of the movie.
Oh my god. That's the real Pixar antagonist.
She is the best character in this movie. Yeah, bar none.
It becomes like a, like, oh no, it's a frightened old lady. It's a frightened old lady with a gun.
With a gun. When the rats are running away in the river, they're already out of her house, but she's still on the bridge shooting at them in the water.
Like,
lady, give up!
She has a poison max on. Like this is somebody who's seen war, and she was ready to take down these rats.
Lady, give up. They're out of your house. They're just trying to live. Give up. Let him go.
He's getting like war flashbacks. He's like, oh.
Her ceiling collapsed on her because she shot the ceiling so many times.
Also, a gun? Really?
Yeah.
Like, why not?
Yeah.
What?
A gun.
Yeah. You're going to go for the gun first, and then you go for the rat poison. That's the natural progress.
Yeah,
the
what's natural, worse, rat? What's the worse, rat progress. Poison or a gun?
Well, she was armed and ready for it. Like,
yeah, I know.
She had bullets.
She had those bullets. Did you see all those? She has so many bullets. I want to know more about this old lady.
What? Can the movie be about her?
Yeah, that's what I wanted it to be.
Let's have a spinoff of Ratatouille called.
The more the movie had Remy be the main character, the more upset I was that I was an old lady with a gun.
Up two. Carl goes to France.
Oh no. Get shot at.
Yeah, that's the new Disney Toon film. Oh, we'll get to that. Oh.
We will?
Yeah, for Toy Story 3, in fact.
For the Toon film? What?
Disney Toon. It was a...
Yeah.
Well, of course, we'll have to get to that later. That doesn't become a part of it quite yet. While we're still talking on characters, let's go into... We mentioned her a few times. Let's go into Colette. What did we think about Colette?
She's pretty good.
I thought she was okay.
I thought she was all right with humor-wise, but she was very knowledgeable.
Yeah, I liked how she was a mentor, and I did like... I liked how she was legitimately upset when Linguini was kind of not taking her advice and stuff, which was not Linguini, it was Remy, but... Yeah. It wasn't just that, you know, she was okay moving on. She actually was kind of upset about it. And one of the funnier scenes that was actually, it was funny, but it was also, you know, kind of sad, was when Linguini fell asleep on the job and Colette came in. That scene was funny. It was kind of sad, but it was also very funny.
It was very
funny. But you could see that, you know, she is hurt by this. She liked Linguini. And, you know, here he is wearing sunglasses, looking at her.
And snoring while she's
literally snoring.
And she like slaps him and it's like, oh god, now I'm awake.
Yeah, he's like, huh? She's yelling at him and all he can do is go, what, huh? But for the most part, I mostly thought Colette was okay.
Yeah, she was okay. She was actually a minor character, but the Brad Bird liked the idea of like the one female cook in the male kitchen. So they just kind of went with that and they gave her best. And it worked okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's better than her not having a role in the film, I think.
Or her just being, like, bland.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, yeah. She did have her own, like, I like the quote montage where at first Colette is just saying, like, clean up the station or I will kill you. And then, like, towards the end, you can see that she's, like, softening up and just giving her, like, a lot of, like lovely advice about the sound of bread and, how the chefs have dark backstories to them.
Yeah.
It's still, like, a mentor to the student, but they're starting to see eye to eye.
She was good. I thought the romance came out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah. The romance?
Oh my god, I fully agree.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I forgot about the romance.
It felt like it just happened just because it would be easier for the plot.
Yeah, you know, they had to, you know, start having a romance with each other so that Remy would be reminded of whatever that stupid line was that Wash brought up before.
Yeah, it was kind of going back to like when we were talking about with the Finding Nemo, where it felt so weirdly fresh to have a male and female co-stars that don't have any romance between them. And it would have been nice to have kept it this way for Ratatouille, but...
It was not meant to be, unfortunately.
Yeah, I guess this is also what Brad Bird saw in Colette, was that, like, hey, you could use a love interest.
The thing is, she's very supportive, too, so that's nice, but...
It's nothing against the character. It's just that there's something like a connection between the two.
This kind of ties into what my big problem with the movie is, and that's just kind of that the story I thought was with a good message and with a good heart, but on the whole, very weak.
It kind of had a similar issue with Toy Story 2, was because of the huge change up with directors and having to like scrap everything together, they had a really rushed production cycle. It's not nearly as rushed as Toy Story 2. They had like 18 months instead of 9, but it still just kind of felt really patchy. There's even a scene when Ego is coming in and he literally says, "You've been playing without an opponent." Because at that point, the villain that they had earlier in the movie had just been defeated, so now they gotta bring a new villain into the film.
Yeah.
And with like stuff like that, it's just starting to feel patchy. It didn't feel like well connected together, like the whole thing with the like we talk a lot about like Remy in the kitchen. We didn't really talk much about like Remy's family. Like Emil and his dad. Dad, by the way, in the credits, his name is Django. There's a conflict between the two, but then they barely see each other for like a long time, and then they finally meet again, and then it's just like I don't get a strong connection between the family and the cooking so much, because Remy can leave that behind, and he does, but the family just kept coming back to him because they wanted to get more food.
It's not really his whole family, just his brother and some of his friends, and more came, but like...
The whole thing with the giant pack of rats was that they weren't blood family, but the whole thing that his dad tried to point to get across, at least, was that they were connected like family. That was the whole...
Well, they were in this together.
Which is only ever told, not shown, by the way.
There's one detail that's only been shown, never told. I like that there's one rat that's inexplicably the strong one, and he has a tag on his ear, which tells you that he was a lab rat. So they put like all these like hormones inside him, and now he's the giant rat that can like close a giant metal door.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I like that. I like that little detail. That probably has been there since the beginning. But he's just there, and they never get into it at all. One of his only lines is there a problem here? Which is one of those things you gotta have the big strong guy say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the protagonist can feel like intimidating. And say no, I'll go get the food. I'm getting down on Remy.
It's just really story as the whole, just really.
Yeah, it's a little.
It felt very weak to me. There's so many parts of the story where it was just either really mean or really rust and choppy and underdeveloped.
Yeah.
Or parts that, man, this movie had one of those really stupid breakup things when they get into an argument. It's not a misunderstanding. Technically, it's
sort of it.
They have an argument. Linguini comes in. I'm sorry, little chef. I was wrong. And then he sees that he's stealing. You're stealing. We're through. And they break up. They storm off. And you know they're gonna get back together. So you're really doing this.
And the way they get back together is just that like Linguini is in a really tight spot, and he suddenly remembers that like, oh yeah, the rat was the thing that was making me cook this whole time. It barely becomes anything organic.
And when Linguini inheriting Gusteau's restaurant and all that, him being his son, it was a part of the movie for a little bit before Remy found it out. But once Remy found it out and he ran off with the notes, and then Skinner was fired and Linguini inherited an entire restaurant, when the public knew about it for 2 days.
Yeah.
No, that's not how. So much is glossed over and rushed, but then you have a lot of really weird things like Remy and his family that they take the time out to actually get into, but they don't get into it. They rush it over, but they still bring up that it's there. I mean, say what you will about Toy Story 2, at least, you know, it was split between the Buzz plot and the Woody plot. This, there's an A plot, and then there's the rest.
That's quite a damning way of putting it.
Goddamn.
Yeah. It's just really what my big problem with the movie is. It's the story, and this story is kind of what dictates everything.
Yeah, it's a big problem to have.
And thing a is, it's character that dictates story.
And I mean, some good characters, a lot of forgettable characters, and Remy. See, the thing, something with Pixar movies. Up to this point, I've loved the beginning of even Cars, I've loved the beginning of every single Pixar movie. This movie, it just opens up with the TV on a black, just pitch black background, talking about Gusteau, and then 10 minutes into the movie, and it's the same thing talking about Gusteau, except it finishes. And you could totally have a thing where you get a preview of it at the start, and then you find out more later, but not only is there a 10-minute gap, but this is like the opening bit of the movie, and it's just a TV on a black background for no explicable reason. Like, you look at Finding Nemo's opening, or the beginning of The Incredibles, or Toy Story, these very well-thought-out openings, hell, even Cars, and then you look here, and it's just, like, a TV on a black background.
Along with, hey, It's me. Yeah, you're probably wondering why I got me. In this situation.
It's a me, Gusto.
It's a me. You're probably wondering how I got into this situation.
Situation. Well, you see, Luigi. Oh no, Mario! We're rats now. How did we even get ourselves into this mess?
I hope we make lots of ratatouille.
Luigi.
Gusto, look.
It's from Skinner.
Dear plastic rat.
Bowser would definitely be Skinner.
Yes.
Bowser would definitely be... Oh my god. Just imagine, like, Skinner in the CDI animation style.
Oh, man.
Oh,
man.
Definitely.
Oh, man.
Oh, definitely. My god. He would fit right in.
He would fit right in, absolutely.
He would fit right in. What else is there to talk about? I mean, I guess Ego, but he's kind of like... He only seems to be mentioned, like, in the very beginning, like, through, like... a narration from a television show, and then he comes in more towards the end. He may not be in the film much, but when he does enter the room, you could feel the weight when he enters the room.
Yeah.
Which is he's probably one of the more intimidating Pixar films.
I like how into the character he gets. I don't really feel anything about him in one way or the other, but I like how into his critic character that he gets when he's ordering the food. And, you know, he's saying, do you have perspective? And he's just giving off, like, this monologue. and then
John Ratzenberger's like, what?
Yeah, John Ratzenberger. And by the end of it, Anton is literally leaning over the table, stretching in John Ratzenberger's face. it's really funny.
I'll provide the perspective. Pixar perspective, that is.
Oh,
I wrote that down in my notes.
Damn it. Nice. You beat both of us to it. I like how Skinner and Anton are both two extremes of a goofy kind of villain. Skinner being the goofy, and Anton being the intimidating goofy.
Yes.
It's just with Anton himself, as far as like the character goes, I just don't think he's in the movie enough. I think he's fine.
Yeah.
I don't love him. I don't love him. I don't like him that much, but. I like him. He's okay.
I loved every time he was on screen, to be honest.
I think the best part about the critic, and I think this is a good of a time as any to start bringing this point up, was his contribution to the ending of the film.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's talk about Ratatouille's ending, because...
Probably the best thing about the film.
Yeah.
There was a lot to say. As stupid as the breakup was with Remy and Linguini, when they get back together and Linguini gives that motivational speech, which is like, whatever, the one chef, he walks up to him, he gives him a look, and he just kind of looks at him with, I almost want to say, pity in his eyes, and he just gives him his hat and walks out without saying anything, and all the other chefs follow. It's really somber and sad, and I counted. There's about 2 minutes where people just aren't talking.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Ratatouille is a very silly movie. There's a lot of talking, a lot of ooh-ahs, a lot of that. So just have... A break when things are really dire, I thought was very, very effective.
Yeah, I hadn't even noticed that, but it worked like really smoothly in. The family finally comes in, and this is where I guess the family ties in. They start cooking for everything. Linguini, for as much of a bumbling ball of nerves he is, he's actually really, really good at roller skating, which is actually hinted at earlier in the film when Colette is actually not very good at roller skating, and he's like helping her out because he's a smooth criminal on those skates.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that.
I completely missed that.
Yeah, he's a smooth criminal, and it pays off when she's getting to the waiter. It may be contradictory, but I feel like the skates are so, like, shaky that they're in sync with him, and he's suddenly, like, a human being.
That is a great explanation as to why
it would make sense. It would make a lot of sense.
I love it.
Yeah. Things are starting to come into place. They're getting all the orders out, and they start to figure out, what can we get for him? Let's make him some ratatouille. They bring it over to Ego. He gets his pen out. He writes down his little note. Skinner is like cackling. He's like, ha ha ha, they're ratatouille. They must be joking. Like,
this is just like I was saying before. He's that petty.
He gets one bite. And there's something we brought up about, but like the whole film is about like food and the human connection to it. And this shot where he takes a Ego takes a bite, and he gets transported back to being a little kid who hurt himself on his bike, and his mom makes him some ratatouille to cheer him up. This is what cooking is all about. It's earlier in the film, Remy's dad says food is fuel. Like all Remy's dad thinks about it is, and like the, most of the rest, is that it's just something that we need to survive. With that scene, it becomes like a real human connection to food, and I love that. So good. It got me thinking about like when I was at a Christmas party, and I found some cake that looked slightly familiar, and when I took a bite into it, it's like, oh my god, I remember this cake.
I think I remember you bringing this up in our last time we watched this movie. I'm trying to think of like any examples like that. I think for me, I go to a college or university, and we have this weird thing called like the cheesesteak over fries, where we just have cheesesteak over like chicken cheesesteak over like fries with a whole bunch of sauces on it, and it's so unhealthy and so delicious, and it's everyone orders it now ever since it became a thing. It's like my university staple, and now every time I eat it, I'm going to be I'm just waiting till like I visit university when I graduate and I have that again. I'm going to be reminded of all the memories of my university because of that dish.
Because it's going to happen. Those sleepless nights.
Yeah. it's powerful. Again, it's that connection of food. Yeah. Food can take you back in ways that nothing else can. It is more than just something that you got to do to live. It's something that you have an emotional attachment to.
Yeah.
The taste, the time, the mood, the atmosphere, everything.
The labor.
One bite, and it takes you to that.
Yeah, and it's
just one bite.
It's so artfully done. It really is gorgeous.
Also, don't watch this movie without eating first, because you're gonna
be hungry. You will be hungry.
I was so hungry. Especially when the ratatouille came out, I was like, I want food.
I wouldn't mind some ratatouille, because from the ingredients that I'm seeing, it's like that looks like a damn good dish.
I wonder how many people ordered ratatouille for the first time because of watching this movie.
Look, this isn't like Finding Nemo. It's not gonna be like everybody goes to a French restaurant and goes, look, ratatouille.
Like someone goes to a French restaurant, hey, look, ratatouille.
Yeah, I'll say a part of the movie, the ending that I also super liked. This is one that is really important to all of us since we're critiquing movies, is the ending speech that the critic makes about what being a critic is about, mm-hmm. and what critics, you know, what a critic should strive to be. How a critic has an easy job, someone else puts pretty much their life on the line, and all a critic has to do is talk negatively about it. And people will listen to them. But what's the scariest part about being a critic is ushering in the new. But that's also what a critic's job is, to tell people about the new and to either accept or reject the new and how that all works. And it makes you think.
Like, even if you reject it, you have to find there's still, if it really is like unique and new, then that alone is special.
Yes, exactly.
And it comes up to the great line with Gusteau, who we barely talked about because he was barely a part of the film. Like, he has the book Anyone Can Cook, and Ego for you just like snotty about it, like, oh yeah, right. One of his final lines in that speech: not everyone can become a great artist, but a great artist can come from anywhere.
That message is the whole film right there.
Yes. Like, it's...
And that's probably the only thing I remembered about Ratatouille.
This is applicable to us right now. Wash, you think less of Toy Story 2 than most people do. But, you know, just because you think less of it, it is... As a critic, it is your job to give your honest opinion about it. Same with me and Cars. Just 2 weeks ago, I was talking about how much I loved Cars, as unpopular as that is. I'll get one for you, random. Give me a second.
I have no opinion.
Help me out here. Help me out here. What's your unpopular opinion? Good Dinosaur is probably your least favorite Pixar movie, except maybe Cars 2. I don't know.
I really need to think about that.
I don't know. Most people don't think Good Dinosaur is that bad, but you're very vocal about your hate of it. It's your job. As somebody critiquing a movie, it's your job to be honest about this. And
yes,
you're not holding back. Didn't hold back with Toy Story 2. I didn't hold back with Cars.
If somebody does find some enjoyment out of it, that is special. That is something that we can... That's something that we should kind of like analyze. Like
that's what I was trying to say, yes.
Yes. that's the whole point of enjoying things. Of enjoying food, of enjoying Pixar films, of enjoying podcasts about Pixar films, about food.
There's always going to be someone who hates it, but there's always going to be someone who will enjoy it.
Exactly. Yeah. And that in itself is special. Absolutely. What do you think about the ending, Random?
It's one of the most memorable moments of the film for me. As someone, it again really sets home the whole message of the film that, like, yeah, any artist can come from anywhere. And that's always something that stuck with me, that, yeah, not everyone can be great with doing things, but, like, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, where you're from. If you have that talent, you have that talent. Just because you're, like, a certain person or have these certain, like, features, or you're stereotyped as something, like a rat. I know that's not the main thing people say when it comes to stereotypes, but, like, you can follow your passions if you want to. You can. Your passions aren't limited just based on because of where you come from or the culture surrounding you, where you are, or where you're from. And that's what I always took away from that ending, is just that, like, just because of who you are or where you're from doesn't mean you can't do something.
I'm going to be a negative Nancy here. Something about the ending that I didn't like was that they bought back Remy's narration.
Oh, yeah.
And the part...
Oh, wait, hold on. Can I beat you to this? Can I beat you to this?
Go ahead. You know what I'm going to say.
He stood up. He said, thank you for the meal. Thank you for the meal.
That is exactly what I was going to say. I hated that. It was the one giant blemish on the end. Well, I mean, the whole narration was, but especially that.
Ego smile disappears.
So, that was Ratatouille. Time for our final thoughts. We shall start with Random.
Oh, shit. Yeah, I liked the film. Is it my favorite Pixar film? No. Do I understand why it's not as memorable as the rest of the Pixar films? Yes. I kind of enjoyed Remy more than Lightning McQueen, but he does have a lot of faults. Some characters are underutilized. But Linguini's great. Colette is okay. Skinner's amazing and hilarious. And the message of the movie is a core throughout, even if the story isn't as strong. And while it's not my favorite Pixar film, it's still better than A Bug's Life. So I'm going to say that right away.
wow, high praise.
And I don't know. It's just, like, I kind of wish I was a chef so I could really appreciate this film more. Because I feel like if I was really obsessed with food, I would really like this film a lot more. But no one here has a degree in the culinary arts. No one... I can only make eggs. I can make scrambled eggs. That's about it.
You and me
both.
Well,
you know what they say, Random. Anyone can cook.
I like the film. I like it. It's okay.
That's good.
All right, Wash, you're up.
All right, sir. I have a lot of issues with Remy, and those issues end up, like, leaching into the many different things I don't really enjoy about the film, like the narration, like the story, although that can also be a bit separated from the from that. I really didn't like Remy's, like, smugness so much of the film. Like I was saying, it's now become the Cars for me, because I can say I like some of the secondary characters. I like the comedy. I really enjoyed the animation. Like, Brad Bird just, like, knocked it out of the park. And it has a similar issue for me with Toy Story 2, which is that, like I've been saying, Toy Story 2, I like its parts, but the parts don't come up to a coherent whole. And this has much of the same problem, although there are some parts that are really dragging the others down. Mixing my metaphors here. It's not forgettable. And that's kind of been the takeaway for many, many years now, that people just kind of tend to, like, random couldn't even remember when he first saw the film.
I really couldn't.
It's not
And I see why now.
It's not forgettable. There is actual value in this, which becomes, like, the point. It almost, like, the ending almost becomes the defense of the movie, where it's like, there's still value in this. Let's take it over to Kubi fan. What are your final takes?
Before I get to my final takes on Ratatouille, my rankings changed.
Oh, well.
Yes. So I will share now.
Oh, originally, let's start sharing that once we get into the, because I just have my script ready for this. I'm just going to need some time to, like, shuffle all those around.
That's fair then. So my final thoughts on Ratatouille, starting with A Bug's Life. Every Pixar movie that I had watched up to Ratatouille, my opinions as a whole had drastically changed. A Bug's Life was negative, and all the other ones, positive. I liked them all more than I did before, and even Bug's Life, I liked it less, but hey, you know what? My opinion had changed. Ratatouille, my opinion had changed, but it wasn't as drastic as it was with all of them. It was unfortunately about the same as it was when I had first seen it. I wasn't not stoked about it. Still not stoked about it. Some things I like a little more than I did. Some things I like a little less. I don't really think I really talked enough about how not of a fan I was of the story. I really did not like how it was put together or how it was done. Mm-hmm. Ending aside, ending was great, but there are good things about it. Like I do really like Linguini. He's got some charming dialogue, very great animation. The music in the movie I thought was fantastic. The credits music was out of The Incredibles, which I thought was a little weird, but I'm not going to complain because The Incredibles. I'll compare it to Toy Story 2 again, like I said before, the comparison with Buzz plot, Woody plot, Ratatouille, the main plot, and the rest, which I'll stand by that. I'm also going to compare it to Cars and how I think Cars also had problems, such as a very bad protagonist. But whereas with Cars, there was something that I genuinely appreciated about it that really just bought the whole package together for me and really made it, in my opinion, a movie that I could honestly rewatch a million times. Ratatouille did not have a sense of unity to it, a sense of genuine appreciation for, maybe not appreciation for a craft, because obviously it loved cooking, but Cars had an appreciation for, I guess the word I want to say is, like, a sentimental kind of value. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciated that. Ratatouille, towards the ending, showed that, but for most of the movie, it was really just showing how cooking is this incredible thing, and then a lot of annoying characters doing a lot of annoying things. So Ratatouille doesn't really have the pull that Cars has for me, and without that pull, it's just kind of left as okay. I did not dislike it, absolutely not. Did I like it? Probably not. The very least, I'd say it's okay. Maybe I like it, maybe I don't. But at the very least, it is okay.
Okay.
It's probably a good movie because Old Lady with a Gun is in it, but yeah, no, it's a good movie. It's good. It's not great. It's not even that good. It's barely good, but it's good. I had to be reminded of the best character in the film. Sorry.
That lady is so good because she doesn't have a single line of dialogue.
Yeah, her only... She like... grunts annoyingly when she doesn't kill rats.
yeah. I think she sleeps on a recliner. That's about it.
All we know about her is that she's good with a gun.
No, she's not good with a gun. She doesn't shoot him.
That's why I said, I couldn't see it. I made quotes.
Oh.
Well, I guess this is the time when we get into the rankings. And Kobe fan, you said that you have a change up.
You sure do.
So let me remind you on what your current list is. From the bottom up, it's A Bug's Life, followed by Toy Story 2, then Monsters Incorporated, Toy Story 1, Cars, then Finding Nemo, And then Incredibles. Now, what is your change-up this time?
So, I want you two to guess. Either Cars moved, Monsters, Inc. moved, or Toy Story moved. It's one of those three. Okay. Which movie was it? It was moved in whatever direction, one slot. So, which movie was it, and was it up or down?
My guess is going to be that Monsters, Inc. and Toy Story 1 swapped places. And I think it's going to be that kind of sort of change up while you're still going to insist that Cars is still better than both of those films.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm not saying it's better. I'm saying I like it more. But second, okay.
But that's my guess. Brandon, what do you think?
I think that it's a trick question and all three things have changed.
Unfortunately.
In what way?
The Kirby fan just rearranged the whole schedule just to fuck with us.
Well, unfortunately, random is incorrect. However, Wash is correct.
Yes.
I moved Toy Story 1, moved down one, and Monsters, Inc. moved up one.
Okay. I will now note that in the list.
So now from the bottom up, it's Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Toy Story, Monsters, Inc., yada, yada, yada.
Cars, and then Finding Nemo and Incredible. Yeah, Cars is yada, yada, yada.
Who cares?
It's Cars.
So that's been your list for Random and I. Our bottom three is kind of the same. We have a Bug's Life, followed by Cars, followed by Toy Story 2. And then Random, you have Monsters, Inc., followed by The Incredibles, followed by Toy Story, followed by Finding Nemo. And for me, I have Toy Story, followed by Monsters, Inc., followed by Finding Nemo, followed by The Incredibles. Are you okay with that ranking, Random?
I'm thinking about a ranking change.
Okay. Okay.
You thinking of moving up Cars? Thinking of moving down Cars?
No. It's one of the higher up ones.
Okay.
I think I'm changing some around before I add in Ratatouille. Can you guess which ones I'm changing?
I'm still gonna say you're moving Cars down.
I'm gonna say you're moving The Incredibles up. What's your ranking gonna be?
Kirby fan incorrect. Wash correct.
Oh well, there you go. I know you both.
I'm not gonna complain. Well. See, yeah. I was gonna say that too, but I also figured I'd make a joke.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's fair. So let me run this real quick.
Okay.
So our ranking has actually changed. So before, our ranking was Bug's Life, followed by Toy Story 2, then Cars, Monsters Incorporated, Toy Story, and then it was a tie between The Incredibles and Finding Nemo. Now that we have all these change-ups, our ranking from the bottom up is Bug's Life, Toy Story 2, Cars, Toy Story 1, Monsters Ooh. Incorporated, Finding Nemo, and Incredibles actually had the number one spot. We stopped the tie. This is it.
Wait, do I have to put in Ratatouille now?
So now this is the point.
We almost put in Ratatouille.
Now we have to. This is the point where we start from the bottom up. Since we all have the same bottom, is Ratatouille better than A Bug's Life? Could be.
Yes. Oh shit.
Well, Random spoiled his answer.
Okay.
I've been very nice to A Bug's Life today. I haven't really insulted it. Yes.
Okay.
Like, no contest. I gotta fill my quota for Bug's Life. I haven't done it yet. Bug's Life.
We have quota for movies we hate.
Bug's Life fans, you're getting off easy today. I'm too tired.
So right now, it's above A Bug's Life. I agree with you both. Now, Random and I have, above that, we have Cars. Random, is this better than Cars?
This is tough.
I have my list done already. So
can I come back? Can you come back to me?
Yeah, we'll come back to you.
Let's take it to Kirby. From your bottom up, above A Bug's Life, we have Toy Story 2. So is Ratatouille better than Toy Story 2?
Unfortunately, I gave my answer multiple times throughout the video. No.
Okay. Even though you brought this up before. Do you want to elaborate on this?
To give Random some time, I'll try. I'll try to say something different other than the Woody Buzz thing. Really, to me, the big perk of Ratatouille, it's an incredible message, which it has over Toy Story 2. It has one thing over Toy Story 2 to me. It's definitely its message. The thing that saves Ratatouille from just being okay and what helps elevate Toy Story 2 into something really memorable for me is the comedy. Ratatouille is so expressive and fluid with his movements. But I gotta say, out of all the Pixar movies we've seen so far, I think Toy Story 2 is the funniest. And that just gives it an edge.
Mm-hmm.
Toy Story 2, it's definitely the funniest so far. The Woody plot had its fair share of misses with the jokes, and it had its fair share of hits, but the Buzz plot was nothing but, like, knocked it out of the park jokes. They were all so funny. I could watch just the Buzz plot in Toy Story 2 and be completely satisfied. And the opening act when they were at Andy's house, I thought that was really solid too.
Delicious hot schmoes. They're
s'mores, 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 s'mores.
Schmoes.
Number 4, is it how many times we recorded that?
Yeah,
we gotta fill that quota too.
No, we don't. I really just think that Toy Story 2 is the funnier movie, and it also just frustrates me a lot less than Ratatouille does. Nothing in Toy Story 2 really annoyed me as much as just Remy. Ratatouille does have a much better... Well, I mean, not that I think Toy Story 2 has a bad message or anything. Toy Story 2's message of enjoy life while it lasts, pretty much, is very good. But Ratatouille, I just thought, drove the point home a lot better. But that's really all I think Ratatouille has over Toy Story 2. I just think Toy Story 2, for... I almost hate to say it like this. I'm going to put this in a... And because I'm tired, I'm going to make it sound a lot more negative than it actually is, but you get the idea. For as much of a mess as Toy Story 2 could have been, it wasn't. And I really appreciate that. Ratatouille, kind of a mess. Like I said, I don't think I talked about how not into the story I really was enough, but yeah. Yeah. All right, so to give Random some more time to think, Wash, do you like Ratatouille more or less than Cars?
Well, I, because like I've been saying, they have very similar issues that just rub me the wrong way. I think it's very close. I will agree with you that I wasn't as frustrated with Toy Story 2. As much as I ragged on it, I wasn't as frustrated with Toy Story 2 as I was with Ratatouille. So it's definitely not going to go any further up.
Mm-hmm.
I think...
Random, have you made up your mind yet?
I think I have.
All right, then we'll give Wash some more time to think.
Okay, give me a little more time. Random.
So do you prefer Ratatouille or Cars? And when you give your answer, tell us why.
I prefer Cars.
Okay.
Wow, I was actually really not expecting that. All right, why?
I wasn't expecting it either. But I was looking at both of your experiences of the film, and I was like... Which one did I enjoy watching more? And while there were certain points of films that I enjoyed more, like I enjoy the ending. Actually, both films have pretty decent endings. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, the endings are standouts for both.
Yeah, it's gonna sound silly. I had more fun watching Cars than I did watching Ratatouille. I had more fun, and that was the deciding factor for me.
Mm.
That's very. Very good.
Wow.
I like that. No, obviously as a Cars fan, I like that. but just as a, because you know, you watch movies, you interact with media to have fun, right?
Yeah, and even though Cars isn't that great, I remembered Cars. I remembered Cars. I didn't remember when I first saw Ratatouille. I only remember the ending and Patton Oswalt, and that's it.
Ouch.
That's all I really was memorable, and I had more fun watching Cars at school, even though I was doing homework half the time with it, and then when I was watching Ratatouille with my full focus on it. There's some great moments about both films, don't worry, and some moments outshine the others in Cars, I will admit, but I just like, I can't believe I was saying this, I liked Cars more than Ratatouille.
Welcome, Random.
I did not think cars would get past the bottom two, but here we are. Or, like, get out of the bottom two, rather.
Okay. Or bottom three, let's be real. Oh, no, bottom four, because it's a good dinosaur. Cars 2, Cars 3, good dinosaur, Cars 1. That would be... I'm assuming you thought your bottom four was going to be.
Or when I first started this list, probably. After Bug's Life, no.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about A Bug's Life.
Most people do.
Okay, your daily quota? Daily quota. You didn't get off that easy today, Bug's Life fan.
All right, Wash.
You're up. Ratatouille or Cars?
Thing is, as I'm staring at this, I'm now getting, like, introspective, where it's like, I'm feeling like I should put Ratatouille above Cars, but now I'm getting introspective of saying, like, am I just saying that because of, like, some sort of ego that I don't want the movie that I had defended before to be beaten by Cars?
For what it's worth, I used to defend A Bug's Life, so...
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it out there. That movie still hurts. It kills me that I hate that movie. I want to not hate it.
Yeah, so I mean, I like it better than Cars 2, probably. We'll see. But
we'll see.
I didn't think Cars would get as high as it is, but here we are. I didn't think Ratatouille would be as low as it is, but here it is. But be honest with yourself.
Yeah. Yes.
That's the point of the movie. That's the point I was saying with the critic.
That's the point of this, yeah. And you know what? I am going to be honest with myself. Cars beats Ratatouille. I ragged on this a lot with Rose in the last episode. Like I've been saying, it's very close. The protagonist of Cars just... It dragged a lot of things down for me. He ended up frustrating me. I think it's still a complete story. Which is more than I can say for Ratatouille. Like we've been saying, it's an A plot and the rest, because it just feels like when Skinner gets kicked out of the restaurant, like they suddenly have to bring a new villain into this, and he was mentioned in the very beginning of the film, and then we don't see him again until suddenly they need a new opposing force. That's sloppy. That's kind of sloppy. It breaks my heart to have to do this to the film I defended. I'm sorry, I just couldn't get into to Remy, and I couldn't get into the weak story. Sorry, Brad Bird. It's especially like a heartbreaking because we're big fans of Brad Bird. Like
I know,
we have The Incredibles so high up in the list, and we're all big fans of the Iron Giant. But like this one, you could tell that he was really trying to get something out of this.
I'll give credit where credit is, I mean not that I hate the movie, but I'll give credit where credit is due, considering he was given a film that was far into development. He could have done a lot worse.
Could have been a lot worse. Yes, it's just kept frustrating. and that's what my ranking is so far. From the bottom is a film that mostly bores me, and then above that is a movie that frustrates me, and then it's Cars.
We have the same bottom, still.
Yeah.
We have the same bottom, yeah.
Yeah, not me.
We might change our ranking to the point where Cars gets on top. I'm not sure anymore.
Number one film, Cars. Incredibles, number two.
Okay, probably not, but still. Either way, I'm shocked in myself for...
It's kind of appropriate that the bottom two films are like disgusting creatures like bugs and rats.
And then there's Cars.
Bugs, rats, and Cars.
Oh my.
All right, Wash, calc up the calculations.
Do we have the calculations here? And so, it's not really much of a surprise because the bottom two is unanimous. But from the bottom up, oh god, I barely even mentioned like how this ranking works. I basically stole this from another podcast called Earnest Roulette, which I highly recommend to people, but they use an averaging system to figure out among three people how to rank these films. So from the bottom up, A Bug's Life with 42 points, then Ratatouille with 45, Toy Story 2 at 50, Cars at 51, Toy Story 1 at 54, Monsters Incorporated at 55, Finding Nemo at 61, and Incredibles at 62 points.
Wow. So,
wait. That's so wait, close. Finding Nemo and Incredibles are like 1 point each.
They're one point away from each other. Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. are 1 point away from each other. Toy Story 2 and Cars are 1 point away. But once we start adding more movies into this, I feel this list is gonna get more nuanced. This has been
an interesting episode. This has been great. I feel like I did some soul searching on this one.
Yeah. And also, like, this has been by far the longest recording we've done.
Well, yeah, because I haven't been rushed.
We went really, like, half of this episode is just on the final thoughts and the ranking.
Yeah.
Oh, well, if you made it this far, thank you so much. This has been an illuminating
night. Or if you're skipping
night.
To the end to see our opinions.
Have fun with that.
Yeah, so next up.
Next up.
Wall-E.
That's right.
Yes. Oh, man. Wall-E. Oh, boy. That is also a movie I've only seen once, and I've also only seen with you two.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, my God, that's right. Wall-E also had wheels, and that's the same thing as Cars, so it's probably going to suck. But we'll find out.
Well, probably everyone's going to hate it, and I'm going to like it because it's Cars. So.
It's actually Cars 1.5.
Yeah. We can't call it Cars 2 because that's... Even when we're joking around, that's too much of an insult. Thank you for listening to us talk about Ratatouille for a bit and then talk about life.
What is it? What'd you call it? Ratatouang your panda.
What is wrong with how to ratatouang your panda? Okay. You asked for it.
Oh!
Clever.